Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as you just heard, Pastor's asked me to teach. I like to say teach because I'm not I don't think myself as a preacher, but he was asked me to teach tonight, but also once a month, every Wednesday, once a month, not every fourth Wednesday. Anyway, I've told a few people that I'm not too comfortable teaching the adults. It takes me out of my comfort zone. Where's my comfort zone? Sitting right where you guys are. But I figure God wants to take me out of my comfort zone to stretch me. How will I grow as a Christian if I'm just sitting in my comfort zone? How will any of us grow without a bit of stretching? Amen. First up, I'd like to thank the Harris family missionaries we support in Wollongong for their music ministry. I have a CD titled Blessed Hope, and the entire CD is about the return of Christ. Praise the Lord for godly music. Amen. I don't have a lot of godly music, so what I do have, I listen to quite frequently. Over the past couple of weeks, I've had one particular song from the CD playing in my head. And I've woken up after a few good nights sleep even and the first thing that's come to my mind is this song. And the song that comes to mind a lot is called Christ is Coming. Amen. So tonight I'd like to take a quick look at what God says in His Word about Christ's return. So please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. So Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. I read from verse 6 through to verse 11. So Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. And then they therefore were come together. They asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can look into your word and see truth, Lord. And we thank you for that truth. And we thank you, Lord, that you tell us of your coming again, Lord. And Lord, help us now as we look into your word tonight and just give us understanding about what it is you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. This would have been an amazing thing to see happen. Amen. Jesus Christ ascending up into a cloud right before your very eyes. I'd be like, you know, the jaws would have gone, come. Now, they must have been looking skyward for some time because they never noticed the two guys that turned up beside him, which I think might have been angels. Amen. The Bible says, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you unto heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. On Sunday night, Pastor James mentioned this scripture in 1 Thessalonians. Would you like to quickly turn there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16? Brother Hugh, you can grab me some water, could you, mate? Cheers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. First Thessalonians 4 verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Amen. This piece of scripture is referring to what us Christians call the rapture. It's not referring to Christ's second coming, but it's to the moment that Christ returns for all those who believe him as their Saviour. As we learnt from this pulpit in 2015, this event is followed by the time of Jacob's trouble or the Great Tribulation. Only after the tribulation, when God's judgment is meted out on earth, will Christ return with us to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Amen. Thank you, brother. I'm hoping that I'm still going to be alive when Christ returns. If we look at all the world events at the moment, things are looking, things are culminating to the to Christ rapturing us out of here. Amen. I've tried to imagine what it would be like to be caught up in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. It's incredible when you think about it, and it's exciting. Sometimes on my way to work, I can see beautiful sunrises. And I wonder to myself, is today going to be the day? Hasn't happened yet. But yeah, the beautiful sunrises in the morning, clouds, large clouds we get here in Cairns, sometimes going thousands and thousands of feet high. Beautiful. Beautiful to behold. Now, we're very privileged to live at this time of history. Personally, I think the only other time that would have been better than this was when Jesus Christ had his ministry here on earth. Before I was saved, I used to fear the things that were on the news. Turmoil and wars. Now, when I look at the events happening on the world stage through a biblical viewpoint, I'm excited. Amen. When I watch the news, I'm always on the lookout for items that are touting a one world government or world religious leaders heralding unity in one form or another. There are a lot of things happening in Europe at the moment and turmoil in the USA. And headlines like, "Egos at war as Trump and Kim Jong-un take the world to the brink." Nuclear war is being talked about in the media more than it has ever been before. Or for myself anyway. If I was unsaved, I would be fearful of what was happening in North Korea. And I'd probably be Googling how to build a nuclear fallout shelter. The sad fact is there has been a 700% increase in luxury bomb shelters being built in America since 2016. I think the article said something about when Trump was starting to become looking like to be elected, the increase skyrocketed. But we who are saved have nothing to fear about death, amen? So what's stopping the Lord Jesus from returning to rapture us out of here? What prophecy in Scripture needs to be fulfilled for the Lord to return in the clouds and rapture us away from heaven, rapture us away from here into heaven? Well, the bottom line, there isn't one. There isn't any unfulfilled prophecy for the rapture to happen. Christ could return at any moment. The question I'd like to present you tonight is, are you ready for the Lord's return? Are you ready for the Lord to catch your way up into the clouds? We are at a special time in history. There are certain things in place now that could fulfill prophecy in the book of Revelation. Take, for example, the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. Please quickly turn me to Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. Revelation chapter 11 and verse Revelation chapter 11, verse 3, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing for God, the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they are of people, and they of the people, and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies." Not until now was it possible to even contemplate that the whole world would be able to simultaneously watch an event like this. In an article printed in the UK Independent in October 2014, which is a few years ago now, said this: "The first time ever there is more gadgets in the world than there are people. The number of active mobile devices and human beings crossed over somewhere between the 7.19 billion mark. As of today," and it's 2.5 years ago, "the GSMA real-time tracker puts the number of mobile devices at 7.22 billion, while the US Census Bureau says the number of people is somewhere between 7.19 and 7.2 billion. Gadgets like tablets and smartphones are multiplying 5 times faster than we are, growing at a rate of about 2 people per second, or that's us, or 1.2% annually. No other technology has impacted us like the mobile phone. It's the fastest growing man-made phenomenon ever, from 0 to 2.7 billion in 3 decades. The article goes on to say that not everyone in the world personally owns a mobile device, but I would hazard a guess that those without one probably are in a family that does have at least one mobile device or would have access to a TV. And as far as TV goes, according to statistics, there are 1.9 billion households in the world and 1.4 billion households have a TV. And an article in Time magazine in 2013 stated that out of the world's estimated 7 billion people, 6 billion people have access to mobile phones, whereas only 4.5 billion have access to working toilets. So there's more phones out there than there are places to go to the toilet, which is pretty amazing. But there you have it. It's possible now for the whole world to watch an event like what's described in the Revelation chapter 11. As I've mentioned before, you probably heard in the news, North Korea is rattling its saber at the US and her allies and threatening them with nuclear war if they're provoked in any way. Now, as we know, nuclear weapons have been around for a long time now, just over 70 years. In the book of the Revelation, there are some references to events that sound like the result of nuclear warfare. You don't have to turn there for time's sake, but in Revelation chapter 16, verse 21 says, "And there fell upon men great hail out of heaven, every stone about a weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great." And also in the book of Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12 says, "And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth." Both of these passages could be attributed to the horrors of nuclear war. And if you read the events of what happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, eyewitness accounts talk about people being partially vaporized, just like in Zechariah. But ultimately, God is in control, and whether or not He uses nuclear weapons against, uses man's nuclear weapons against them, I don't know. One major prophecy that needs to be fulfilled to herald in the end times was the Reformation of Israel. So on the 14th of May 1948, David Ben-Gurion, the head of the Jewish agency, proclaimed the establishment of the State of Israel, and then US President Harry S. Truman recognised the new nation on that same day. Next month is May, and Israel celebrates its 69th year since the Reformation. There is one thing that possibly needs to happen. We may see the rebuilding of the third temple in Jerusalem before the Lord returns to rapture us away. Somehow the Islamic Dome of the Rock will be either destroyed or maybe dismantled and reconstructed in Mecca. I have spoken about this before, but did you all know that the furnishings needed to put in the third temple are complete? You can go to their website called templeinstitute.org and see for yourself. The sacred temple vessels and the priestly garments are ready to be used in the future holy temple. Millions of dollars have been spent making everything exactly as is written in the Bible. The menorah, which is the candelabrum with the seven branches, cost an estimated $3 million and contains 45 kilos of gold. And that's just one piece of their equipment. The time is at hand, my friends, and it seems that Christ's return is but a heartbeat away. Are you ready for Christ's return? If I was honest with you tonight, I would have to say that I would like the Lord to wait a while. I would very much like to see my wife get saved, amen? And I'm sure everyone here knows someone who is lacking salvation. I praise the Lord for the theme we have this year, soul winning. My prayer for Coastline is that we all have a heart for the lost. That each and every one of us would truly desire to win souls for the Lord. And the song keeps playing in my mind, courtesy of the Harris family. Christ is coming. It also says that we do not know the hour. Over and over in Scripture, we're told to watch for the appearing of our Lord. We're told to be on the alert. You can turn there if you want to, but I've got a few scriptures just to read here. But Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And Matthew 24 verse 44 says, to be ready, therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And Luke chapter 12 and verse 35 says, to be dressed in readiness. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. The reason for these warnings is that Jesus can appear at any moment and no one knows when. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Matthew 24:36, for the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Amen? So what's the best way to be ready? I spoke on recently in my message, Serving God in 2017. The message title might give you a hint. Obviously, first and foremost, we need to be seeking God in prayer and reading and studying His Word on a daily basis. If you're failing here, then you're not going to be ready. Secondly, we need to be busy about doing God's work, serving Him. Christ is coming to rapture us away in the very near future. then it will be too late, my friends. We also need to be in church when the doors are open, amen. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Exhorting means to strongly encourage or urge someone to do something. So we need to encourage each other. Because we see the day approaching. You only need to look on the news on the TV. The day is definitely approaching. Europe and the Western world has already headed down the path of the one world governance. The ecumenical movement is in full swing, and the one world church is developing before our very eyes. Christ is a hair's breadth away from rapturing us out of here. And we need to be doing more for God. Are you ready for the Lord to return? Are you ready for the Lord to catch your way up into the clouds?